Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Honey.
Please join me in saying the Anamakoa. Anamakoa, you do love for me. The letters of the month of Adar, the Gimel that created the planet Jupiter, the planet Tzedek, justice, and the Kuf that created the constellation Pisces, the Dagim, the fishes. Together, the Kuf and the Gimel have a gematria of 103. Together, the Kuf and the Gimel give us an image, a joyful image, of a monkey riding on a camel. Gibor Dor Sheyehudcha Givavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Bahum Tachalem, Rachame Sitkatcha, Tami Gamayim. Betet Reish, Yitav Gimel. Chasin Kadosh, Berov Tuvcha, Nae. Adata Tet Kufpet Tet Nunayat Yahu Geyesh Lamcha Penei Zokrei Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Hey Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Siakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Dadi Yudfaf. We have brought the elements, the energy of creation into our space, and now we're going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for that purpose. Adonai yo, hey yo, Adonai hey yo, El rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, v'ral chesed v'emet, notze chesed l'alafim, notze awon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. We're now going to connect to the energy of this year, 5777, the year of the goat, by reading two verses that have that same energy. The first of those verses is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai hinam. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words, tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letter of these words, we're able to permutate it into two Hebrew letters, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we will read that connects to the same energy of the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba'adonai, hey hey yoa, Elohechem tadevaku, kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. I'm going to read this. Two verses that connect to the year 5776, the year of the pause. The first of the verses we will read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ayu limat velo yachlu lehashit et kol haolot Vayechaskum Achechem Alevim Ad Kelot Hamlacha Yad Yitkadshu Hakohanim Ki Alevim Yishrei Levav Lehitkadesh Me Hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai hey hey yo wa, la la hey, wa wa wa, yo la yo, wa la me, hey hey hey, a ka a, re ka ha. The second verse connecting to this energy is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai, hey hey yo wa, ade ad ki biya, yo hey Adonai, hey hey yo wa, zur olamim. There are three verses that connect to the year 5775, the year that death is swallowed up forever in potential. And for some, the first verse that we will read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni. Lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The next verse we will read is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavu iyam. Asher yichabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon. V'halachu yitchem v'chayayim yeshno. V'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. In the third verse, connecting to this energy of 5775, is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. There's only one verse that connects to the year of 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. And that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom l'ami l'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'atal v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla l'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It's coming from Pasayutro, and it's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. And I'd appreciate it if you would mute your phones by pressing star 6, because there's a lot of stuff. And if you have a question at any time, you're welcome to interrupt and ask your question, but by pressing star 6 to unmute your phone, and then after you've asked your question, to remute your phone by pressing star 6 again. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkim Te Bitkilu Urchimu, Urchilu, Urchilu, Urchimu. Vayakta l'shem yud hei bevav hei. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei adenu kanane aleinu ma'asei adenu kananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nandekucha Barichu Koma Diaved Ve'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Viovada Bikshot Ve'leilach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledachya leya mineya l'ulan haga beya gelana yehakuhu ovada dikshoti nun wikola itzirish bi'alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, which is Rosh Chodesh Aleph of Adar, Rav Moshe of Zaloshin, Rav Menachem Mendel ben Rabbi Baruch Bendit of Shklot, Rabbi Eliyahu HaBachur HaLevi, the Baal HaTishvi, Rav Shmuel Abba ben Baruch of Horednica, Rav Yerucham Bishel Perla. And the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa, we say in a whisper. Today's class is about Shabbat Zachor, which will be happening 2 weeks from yesterday. But our study of it would normally be the week before. But Purim is that Motzi Shabbat, so we don't really have time to prepare. So we're going to take the material in order, starting with Shabbat Zachor. You can find the handout for Shabbat Zachor in two places, both coming from the link Unique Astrological Times. So you can find that on the Any Yeshem webpage, underneath the two pictures on the right. The link is Unique Astrological Times. When you open up that link, scroll down until you see the preparation for the spring holidays. The first link under that is where we will take our lead from. It opens up another page, and when you scroll down on that page, you will find it as class 2, where it says preparation for Purim. But the other page comes also from the Unique Astrological Times, and that is, it specifically states in the same location, Shabbat Zachor. So those will be the two pages that we will be reading from today. I'm starting with the first one, which is the titled Time Period, Purim to Shavuot. And it opens up partially down that page at Shabbat Zachor. Shabbat Zachor is the second of the four special Shabbatot, leading up to the holiday of Pesach. 2 weeks ago, or last week, was Shabbat Shekalim, depending on whether it's a leap year or not. Shabbat Zachor is a reminder to read the special 3-verse maftir describing the war against Amalek on this Shabbat. This Shabbat is the Shabbat before the holiday of Purim. And above in this handout, we explained, and last week we explained why it is read with this parashah to Rumah. Now let us truly understand why this parashah Tetzaveh has the maftir of Zachor. The haftorah of the war against Amalek, all are required listening prior to the holiday of Purim. And as Kabbalists, we know to ask the question, why? Purim is a word that translates as chance, luck, the rolling of dice. Because the actual translation of the word poor is lots, which in our generation would be called dice, or probably a game of dice, or craps. Please look at how our language hints to us about the energy of things, but we do not pay attention. To understand this connection directly, please follow the logic expressed next. Amalek, the nation, the word, has a gematria of 240. The Hebrew word safek, which translates as doubt, also has a gematria of 240. The city name Los Angeles, when spelled in Hebrew, also has a gematria of 240. These three words are connected through the essence and energy of doubt. The nation of Amalek is the essence of doubt, even a channel to us for the energy of doubt. This is why Hashem is at war with Amalek throughout every generation, since the essence of Hashem is certainty, while the opposite of Hashem is Amalek, the channel for doubt. What is Los Angeles city known famous for throughout the world? Hollywood. What is the energy of Hollywood? What is the energy of the entertainment industry? Because that's what Hollywood is known for. They create illusion, just as doubt creates illusion. This is why Los Angeles, Hollywood, has this industry called entertainment that is famous throughout the world. And it's also no coincidence that the Academy Awards are happening tonight during Rosh Chodesh Adar. What is the city famous for? What is the energy? This will hint to you about an aspect of your tikkun. If you live in Los Angeles, if you connect to Los Angeles in any way, you are connecting to aspects of doubt. So what's wrong with having doubts? We don't see tomorrow. We don't know what's coming next. So what if it is the opposite of Hashem's energy? All of us have doubts. So what is wrong with that, which is very human? Yes, it is human. But we are not in this world to remain human. We are in this world to grow spiritually to a level that is beyond human, that is beyond even the angels. We are in this world to become closer to the divine. That level is called mind over matter. In order to manifest mind over matter, we have to have certainty that we can do that. It is not that we will see ourselves doing some mind over matter effect, and then we will know that we can do it. We must know that we can do it. We must know that we can do it in order to do it. This is why Hashem is at war with Amalek. It is an aspect of his mercy to teach us what we must do. That is, to grow to the consciousness of mind over matter. And the first step is to remove doubts, to realize and perceive the world not as luck or chance, but as strict cause and effect. Even if we cannot perceive the cause, we must know that there is a cause that comes from the spiritual world that we cannot perceive. This is the energy in those three verses of the Maftir that we read on Shabbat Zachor. We have completed what we're going to read from this particular handout. And now let's go to the handout called The Kabbalistic Meaning of Shabbat Zachor. And that, as I mentioned earlier, is on the Unique Astrological Times link, where it says Shabbat Zachor. The issue of Halakha. The Shabbat that includes the reading of Parashat Tetzaveh is the Shabbat prior to Purim in most years. The Shabbat that is prior to Purim in leap years will have the Torah reading of Tzav, or Terumah. The Halakha tells us that it is a requirement, language that is almost never used in the Halakha, for any man and woman and child to hear the Maftir Torah reading, and to both read and hear the Haftorah reading for Shabbat Zachor. Halakha is a Hebrew word that gets translated as law. Actually, it means the pathway to follow. The books of Halakha are telling us what to do to follow the laws of Torah and how to do these laws. Actually, they are not laws, and the word Halakha does not mean law. A better translation is a path or a roadway. With this in mind, let us ask, what is the essence of both the Maftir and the Haftorah? The Maftorah is the part of the Torah reading that is considered the sending away. This reading connects the Malchut, or the seventh reading, to the Haftorah reading. On Shabbat Zachor, it is a reading of three verses from Devarim. It's chapter 25, verses 17, 18, and 19. The verses start with the word Zachor, which means remember. It also has the meaning of male. The name of the Shabbat gets its name from the first word of this reading, which is the normal method of naming things in the Torah readings. Here are the three verses in Hebrew and in English. I'm not going to read the Hebrew, but I suggest you scan the Hebrew if you're reading the handout. Verse 17 in the English translation. Remember what Amalek did unto you by the way, as ye came forth out of Egypt. Verse 18. How he met you by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, all that were enfeebled in your rear, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. And verse 19. Therefore it shall be, when Hashem your God has given thee rest from all of your enemies around about, in the land which Hashem your God will give you for an inheritance to possess it, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget. Do you think these verses have a meaning other than the simple meaning of the words? The answer is yes, they do. They have a very significant meaning that deals with the spiritual growth of every human being. This is why the halakha reads the way it does. When we realize that the nation of Amalek has the same gematria as the Hebrew word safek, which means doubt, everything becomes clear. Doubt is the antithesis of Hashem. Hashem has a plan which we call the plan of creation. This plan has absolutely no room for doubt within it. The plan is certain, and the essence of Hashem is certain. The nation of Amalek is the aspect of doubt within each and every human being. The purpose of the reading is to remove this energy of doubt from within us. Yet that does not explain why is this reading on the Shabbat prior to Purim. The Megillah reading is about the story of chance, turnabout, and the concealment of Hashem. Nowhere is the name of Hashem written in the scroll. Yet for people who want to see, Hashem is there to see throughout the scroll, as throughout the story. We need to remove doubts so that we can see the truth about Hashem that is revealed in the Megillah, in the scroll. If you want to see Hashem in the Megillah, you will. If you do not want to see Hashem in the Megillah, you won't. That is why we need to hear the Maftir and the Haftarah, to throw the balance of the scales in the side of you being willing to see Hashem in the Megillah Esther. Let's look at the Haftarah. The Haftarah is read from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 to 34. I am not going to reproduce the Haftarah here, but I am going to provide a summary of the story and specific words and verses that will help you relate to the purpose and essence of the reading. The summary. The simple story is Hashem sends the prophet Samuel to speak to King Shaul. Samuel tells Shaul that it is time, as mentioned in the Maftir, to destroy Amalek. Samuel tells Shaul that Hashem's order is for Saul to go to make war on Amalek and destroy every man, woman, children, and infants, and also specifically the four species of animal wealth, which are cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. King Shaul raises an army of 200,000 men and makes war on Amalek. Hashem grants him victory after victory until he captures alive King Agag, the king of Amalek. King Shaul kills all of the people except Agag. And Shaul also kills all of the animals, except the best which he plans to sacrifice to Hashem at the location of the Mishkan, which is now located in his life, and this time at Gilgal. Hashem then tells Shmuel to go to... Hashem then tells Samuel to go to Shaul and tell him that Hashem is aggrieved at Shaul since he did not listen to Hashem and follow Hashem's instructions. When Samuel finally catches up to Shaul, who is celebrating over his victories, Shaul welcomes Samuel and tells him, "I did what Hashem told me to do." From this and other statements, Samuel realizes that Shaul has lost the kingship and tells him so. People ask a simple question. How can Shaul tell Samuel that he, Shaul, did what he was told? When in fact he did not. And the Midrash explains that Shaul as king has a level of prophecy, and that he made his own calculation. He saw that in the future, the situation would arise that would be recorded in the scroll of Esther. In that situation, he perceived that the plan of Hashem needed some survival of a God's progeny in order to manifest. This was a calculation similar to what many people make. If they see or hear of a prophecy, they think it must come true. Only positive prophecies must manifest. Negative prophecies do not need to manifest. The Jews would not have gone to the Purim parties of Ahasuerus if Amalek had been destroyed. Then there would be no need to save them, since there would not have been any negative decree that would cause the death of all the Jews in the world. There are other spiritual lessons in this Haftorah. One of these is that about a person's belongings. A belonging of a person takes on the attribute of that person. Amalek has the essence of doubt. Therefore, the animals of Amalek have that same essence. Doubt is a cancer. It spreads. It must be wiped out completely from each and every human being. This means that each of us must wipe out our own doubts, which is what creates the ultimate blockage to reaching the level of consciousness called mind over matter. Please learn this lesson well. The combination of hearing and reading the Haftorah on Shabbat Zachor and hearing and reading the Megillah Esther gives us the opportunity to remove every thread of doubt from our being. This can be done, providing we want to remove doubts. Most people do not want to remove doubts. They like it. It's their comfort zone. They know it's human. They know it's normal. So why would you want to remove doubts? And just like the people who told Shaul, no, we will sacrifice the animals. But the people actually were saying, let's keep these animals alive because there's wealth in them. There's physical wealth, but there is no spiritual wealth in doubts. We seem to never quite remove doubts, but we can. Through these holidays, and let us do so this year of the goat. How does doubt bring death into your life? As we have learned by an analysis of the three pasukim that connect to the energy of the year, 5775. We doubt, and therefore we create limitation, which is ultimately the energy of death in our lives. People do not have to die. Businesses do not have to come to an end. They do not have to file bankruptcy. Businesses do not have to die. People do not have to die. Things do not have to stop growing. All of these things are aspects of the angel of death. We can remove the angel of death by saying the three verses from Job chapter 7, verse 19, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23, and Job chapter 20, verse 7. These three verses have the vaccine to remove death. They have the energy to swallow death forever. We're saying it every day for that purpose, to remove death from our consciousness. It's not an easy task, but it will be achieved. Let us learn one thing today and realize its truth in our life. People do not die by what the doctor puts on their death certificate. People die by the energy force of doubt, which allows the angel of death into their lives. That force gives a mida keneged mida, a measure for measure example of their mistake. And that is what the doctor puts on their death certificate. When it's a heart attack, the measure for measure is anger. When it is cancer on the certificate, it is a measure example of selfishness run rampant. If you do not want to die, then remove every trace of doubt in your consciousness. I am good, which is also a 72 name from the Tzaddikim, in exactly the same location, is a good first toll to utilize to remove your doubts.
Hanok?
Yes.
Someone is not muted. I'm getting like every third word. Could you please mute everyone?
Sure. I'm sorry that you should have been spoken up earlier. But I'm not criticizing. In order to ask questions in the future, you'll need to press star 6. The name Ayin Resh Yud is to be pronounced A-Re-Yo. Use it as a repetitive phrase. Know that the gematria is 280, which is the gematria of the five final letters. Know why this is the energy of certainty. Why is the five final letters the energy of certainty? Because they represent the coming of Mashiach. They are the energy of Mashiach. 280 is 28 times 10. 28 is the Hebrew word, or the gematria of the Hebrew word koach, which means power. So we are dealing with this consciousness of power, which has the power to overcome doubts. Because it is the energy of Mashiach, it is the energy of the last day, where Hashem will be vindicated, where Hashem will be known to be in unity with everything. This is what removes doubt. Know this. To remove doubt, you just have to know that Hashem is one. There can be no doubt what will be tomorrow. Hashem will be one. What is Hashem today? Hashem is one. There is no doubt. Why do we consider it doubt? Why do we worry about tomorrow? You are hearing many cries from many rabbis, from many other people in other religions. Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is next year. Mashiach is now. And yes, Mashiach is now for those who remove doubts, who remove their doubts. This is the only path to the consciousness of Mashiach. Remove your doubts. Declare your connection to certainty. Live your connection to certainty. How does one live their connection to certainty? By remaining in the now, the Buddhist concept of the present moment. Is there a present moment? No, it's already passed. Is there a future moment? No, it's in the now. It's in here, right? This moment, because this moment has passed and is now the future. When you unify the past, the present, and the future, you remove all doubts. There's no concern. We have a phrase that we say in the Orthodox tradition. Twice every morning, we repeat the phrase because one of the phrases represents the upper world and one the lower world. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch, Hashem is king. Hashem was king. And Hashem will be king. What that phrase does is unify time. So there is no past. There is no future. There is only now. I'm going to continue to read where I left off. When you say the phrase, the name of God, Areyo, Areyo, don't think I say, because it's part of the oneness of the 72 names of God. And the oneness of the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, and the oneness of all. When you say this phrase, Areyo, you remove doubt, and you replace it with Vadai, certainty. And I have taught this before, to intertwine these three letters with your Hebrew name letters. Again, do not do this by itself. Include it in the scanning or saying of the 72 names. But after you complete all of it, if you have the need of a particular name, do it at that moment. If you do not know your Hebrew name, send me an email with your English name, and I will send you a 72-name chart with that name intertwined with all of the letters. Donations are appreciated, and this is a good time to make a donation for the Chatzi Shekel, the half-shekel donation to the temple, which will also strengthen your connection to the Mashiach and to certainty. This is the energy of Shabbat Zachor, the Shabbat of remembering. Remembering what doubts have done to you in your life. Doubts is what cause you to age. Doubts is what you do to yourself. Why allow doubts into your life? Every aspect of thought that is a doubt. Visualize a wooden box and you put that thought in the box. You lock that box. You watch that smoke rise directly to Hashem. Removed doubts will automatically connect you to Hashem. Removing doubts creates your connection to certainty. And all of the children of Israel, all of the rabbis, they do not speak of Vaday for the Kabbalists. They do not speak of certainty except for the Kabbalists. Why? Because who can speak of certainty? What human being can speak of certainty? You sound sick. I'm certain I'm going to live 300 more years. Let's lock this person up. He's deranged. He's not connected to our society. Who's speaking for that? Who's making these charges, these statements? Tools of Satan. But they're normal people. And that's correct. They are normal people. That doesn't mean they're not tools of Satan. Just as the person that makes your life uncomfortable is not a tool of Hashem for you. People are tools. This is who they will become. This is who we are. We are tools. We are tools to be used right now by either side, Hashem or Satan, and ultimately tools to be used only by Hashem. That is certainty. But I want to build a huge business. I want to employ thousands of people. What's stopping you? Only your doubts. Ask anybody who writes books about the millionaires and billionaires, and they will tell you. They don't write it as explicitly as I'm going to make this statement. But you need to know. The value of physical success as measured by money and material wealth only comes to people who have certainty. Certainty doesn't mean to express your ego of how great you are. Certainty just means you have an idea and you go do it. You don't have to explain it to anybody. You don't have to to reveal it. Because remember, the Keter, the beginning, is always concealed. Even the seed to grow a plant, you have to plant it in the earth, meaning it has to be concealed. Every thought does not have to be expressed, because concealment is how Hashem runs his world. Kodesh Tov. Tonight's class will be at 7 p.m. West Coast time. It will be our Rosh Kodesh connection. I hope you'll join us. Tomorrow at 4:30 will be a mini Zohar class. And 7 o'clock, we will continue with the general preface essay by Rabbi Ashlag.
I have a question, Hanok.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Okay. When is Shabbat Shachor?
Shabbat Shachor is, I believe the date is March 11th. It's in 2 weeks from yesterday.
And then, and Purim, Shabbat Purim?
It's Motzi Shabbat. It's Motzi Shabbat, Shabbat Zachor. It's the night of, well, it's the next day. It's Sunday, basically. But it's
okay.
Right after Shabbat Zachor.
Okay, so we're going to listen to Shabbat Zachor. And then next day, we're going to listen to the Megillah of Esther.
No. You're going to listen to Shabbat Zachor in the synagogue, the reading of the Torah scroll. And then Motzi Shabbat, that evening, you're going to listen to the Megillah reading.
There you go.
And on Sunday morning, you'll also listen to the Megillah reading, because the mitzvah is to hear the Megillah reading twice. Why is it the halakha to hear it twice? Because it's all related to the idea of why is Monday called Blue Monday. Monday is called Blue Monday not because you're going back to work. Monday is called Blue Monday because it's the number two. It's the second day of the week. And the number two isn't happy because it is not the number one. It feels a lack being in separation. So to remove doubts and to connect to certainty, you have to hear the Megillah twice so that you can manifest certainty in the number two. I hope I confused you enough.
Okay, I got it. Very important.
Yes, it is. And we will start also next Motzi Shabbat, because that is the seventh day of Adar. And so we will be studying that day, the seventh day of Adar, and there will not be a class on March 5th, the Sunday, that is the seventh day of Adar, because we're going to be studying most of the night, if not all of the night, to connect to the name Moshe and the person Moshe and the leader of the children of Israel, Moshe. All of that is explained in one of the sections on the dates in this morning's email if you want to read them all about it. It's all there. Any other questions?
I have another question, Hanok.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
Okay. When is best to read the Zohar? At midnight or at the middle of the night? Like 3 o'clock?
The best time to read the Zohar is at the middle of the night, which on daylight savings time, which is coming, I believe, next weekend, maybe the weekend after, is at 1 a.m. During the normal times like we are now, it's at midnight exactly. But the middle of the night is the best time to wake up and read the Zohar. So does that mean that you should get up at midnight if you went to sleep at 11 o'clock? No. It means you have to live your life in a frame of balance. 1 hour of sleep doesn't work. So when you get up, 5 in the morning, 8 in the morning, noon, when you get up, the best time to study is studying the Zohar at that moment. Memorize a verse of the Zohar and say it after the Modeh Ani. There are many other ways to connect to the Zohar. The best time is at the middle of night of the night, called Chatzilayla. Chatzot, the middle of the night.
And that's my question. What is exactly the middle of the night?
It changes every day. Because your sun rises and your sun sets at different times each day. And the way the halakha does, it divides the day into minutes that have different lengths than the standard minute in the Gregorian calendar in the Western world. Yes, it has 60 seconds, but each second is not the same length. That's why you can go to various websites and get an email every day as to what is Chatzot, if you really want to follow it exactly. But again, I stress, it's about balance. You went to sleep. When you get up, start to study the Zohar. Before you go to sleep, start to study the Zohar. We are enjoined to study Torah day and night. This is the recommendation. At noon, before you go to lunch, study the Zohar. Before the sun goes down, study the Zohar. How do you do it if you don't have the time? We have been saying for a couple of years now, this verse from the Zohar from Parashat Yitro. Memorize it. Say it. Say it in the morning. Say it in the afternoon. Say it in the evening. Say it at midnight. Say it after midnight. That's studying the Zohar. That's connecting to certainty. That's removing doubt.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's the Parashat Yitro that we say every day. That part, that section.
That's correct. All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Swallow death forever. Job 7, what?
19.
And then Job 27. And then there's one other. I missed it. I'm sorry.
1 Samuel. Is it 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel? Hold on a second. I have to look it up.
It's 1 Samuel.
Thank you. Do you have the numbers also?
Chapter 23, verse 23.
Thank you. So those are the three verses that connect to the energy of swallowing death forever, the year 5775. Any other questions? Shalom to all, Kodesh Tov to all, and I hope you'll join us this evening at 7 p.m. for our Rosh Kodesh connection.
That's which is 4 o'clock Atlanta time.
No, it's 10 o'clock Atlanta time.
Okay. Thank you.
Shalom, thank you.
You're welcome. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.